Yeah. Well, let's hope we're having a wonderful Christmas time. Look, it's a little packed in here, folks. Welcome. Really happy you're here. But if you're coming in and you're kind of looking for some spots, it's a little bit of a walk of shame coming down here, but that's okay. You can just come down, make yourself at home. There's a bunch of chairs here. And you know what? I know people kind of like their space, but if you have some seats in the middle of your sections and you want to just kind of scrooch down and just tell people, hey, you know what, let's just move down, give some oncoming little spot to sit, that'd be great. All right. Well, hey, I'm Jeff, and I'm glad you're here this evening. It's Christmas Eve at Friends Church. This is pretty great. If you've never been to a Christmas Eve at Friends Church, let me apologize right in advance. It's going to be maybe a little different than what you're expecting. I don't know. You know, Christmas Eve in the Christian tradition is probably one of the most sentimental, nostalgic celebrations of our calendar, I'm sure. And, whether you went to church as a young kid or, you know, you've kind of grown up in church, it's kind of one of those evenings that there's just so much kind of meaning and kind of memory, perhaps, attached to this evening. We know that there's some people that dread this time of year for a whole bunch of different reasons. Some people never darken the door of the church, but maybe mom begs them, and so then they get cleaned up and they come in, you know, just going, geez, I hope this isn't too painful. Hey, if you're out there tonight, you're in and out in about an hour, all right? Christmas Eve at Friends Church is probably, you know, very similar to other traditions, other churches in the Christian tradition. The tailgate party that we just held in the back, that's a little different spin, and hopefully you're able to help yourself to a little bit. That's to kind of ease the nerves of the nervous flyers on nights like tonight. So if you need a little extra birdie juice back there, you can help yourself. We're gonna play some music. We're gonna tell parts of the Christmas story. And we're kind of hoping that amidst the, you know, kind of the presentation, that we'll all hear something inside of what is said, that we'll hear within the story that's told, not so much just kind of a replaying, a retelling of a almost like a fairy tale-ish type of story that happened once upon a time, years and years and years ago, but that you could hear within this story tonight a story that you maybe find yourself in. You'd find stuff that we're talking about perhaps that can speak to your own journey today in 2019. That's what we're hoping. Now, whether you're here for the first time in a long time or you're a long time, sometimes you know what we have to do is just tell ourselves, let's listen with fresh ears tonight. Can we do that? We're going to begin the story. I'm going to begin the story tonight kind of flying at about 50,000 feet. And then we're kind of going to drop in by the end of the hour into kind of a little bit more low-level, intimate parts of the story and how they relate. But I'm going to start with kind of setting the stage for the Christmas story. You see, at the time that the Christmas story that we read of in the Bible was happening, the Roman Emperor Augustus, who's literally ruling the known earth at that time, he decreed that a census should be taken throughout the empire. Everyone returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he returned to Bethlehem in Judea. That was David's ancient home. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was expecting a child. Ooh. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. And that night, not far away, were shepherds guarding their flocks of sheep in the fields. The Bible tells us that suddenly a messenger from God appeared among them, freaking them out. And he said that, the messenger said this, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. it doesn't seem like any big deal to us. But that is a very strange greeting in light of all that was going on in their world at that time. You see, it was a troubled time. The shepherds and the Jewish people were under Roman occupation under the emperor, Caesar Augustus. The area was ruled by a king named Herod. He was kind of a puppet king appointed by the empire. Herod loved the power he wielded. He would do anything to keep his throne intact, including sacrificing his own people. If you've read the history books, there are countless stories of ruthless things he did, even to his own family, who he smelled any kind of threat from. Herod catches wind of the birth of a baby. He hears about this birth of the baby from some emissaries. We call them the wise men. They were coming from the east. They show up and they said, "We've come to see the new baby, the king of the Jews." Herod's like, "What are you talking about, king of the Jews? I rule this country. I'm the king." He hears them talking about this baby and he freaks out. "Who is this baby who has plans to take over my kingdom?" So Herod lies to the wise men. He says, "Go and find the child. When you find him, please bring word to me. Tell me where he is so that I may come and worship him also." Isn't that special? What a beautiful, peaceful picture of a natural transition of power. Herod is going to welcome the baby and pass over his crown. He has plans for the baby. He's going to kill that baby. Peace on earth? Hardly. The country was at war. One country occupying another. A puppet king grasping at power, willing to kill anyone and anything to maintain it. It was a world against itself, people against people. There was anything but peace. And it was into this world that a messenger from God says, "Glory to the God in the highest, peace on earth." You know, our world is not unlike that world of 2,000 years ago. You probably know what I speak of. It's a complex place we live in right now. We are more probably divided than we've ever been. A nation against nation, ideology against ideology, religion against religion, group against group. Peace can feel like a fairy tale concept, kind of like the story can seem sometimes to many of us. Let me ask you something. Where do you crave peace in your world and in your life? Where do you long for connection instead of hostility? Let me ask you, where do you wish that there was more trust and relational security rather than jaded suspicion? Where do you crave peace on earth? Could the Christmas story not challenge us to ask the question, where am I disrupting peace? Where might I be an agent of divisiveness? Where might I be insisting that it's us against them? What could it look like to see the world through the lens of this messenger from God who is declaring, come on, peace on earth? Not as a reality, but as a hope, as a goal, as an end, as a place that we are more and more experiencing and working toward. So with peace in mind, with this kind of peace in mind, this kind of peace that could invade our homes and our lives, our relationships. We're going to sing together a song of that moment in that field when the messengers from God announced what we all to this day are craving, I think. Let this song serve as a reminder that we are within a movement. We are about something in our tradition that strives, that is pushing to bring peace on earth.
This is how Jesus the Christ was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before that marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a good man, and he didn't want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, a messenger of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, descendant of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." This is how Jesus the Christ was born, in scandal. His mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they had slept together, she became pregnant. To her future husband, to Joseph, she cheated on him, and he was devastated. So this is the part of the story we don't like to look at. The virgin birth is lauded as a sign of an amazing person, of Emmanuel, which means God with us. But look at that story from Joseph's perspective. Your fiancé is pregnant, and you haven't even slept together yet. It's a story of pain, hurt, and betrayal. A man destroyed by the one he loved. And Joseph could have retaliated, could have pushed Mary away. He tried to, actually, but then he didn't. When we look at this story from Joseph's perspective, it's not all picturesque, angelic, and holy. It's kind of a mess. We may not be able to relate to a virgin birth, but I bet there's a few of us out there tonight who can relate to a mess. We can relate to that tension Joseph might have felt between rejecting Mary and opening his heart to her. And this is where we find the next level of peace. So, what about peace between us and the ones we love? The ones who have hurt us, the ones who have betrayed us, who weren't there when we needed them, who let us down, who took us for granted. Sometimes the hardest place to find peace is between you and those closest to you. So today, as we read through the Christmas story, let me invite you to reflect on these questions. Who has hurt you? And who have you hurt? With whom are their grudges thick and obscuring the relationship underneath it? With whom do you need to find peace? What do you need to apologize for? And what do you need to bring up? With whom in your life do you crave peace? Maybe this Christmas is the time to take a step towards peace in your life. With siblings and parents, with friends and exes, with partners and with kids. Maybe this Christmas, the peace we need is with those that we love.
God sent a messenger, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a young woman named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Her reaction? Confused, disturbed. Mary tried to think, what could the angel mean? And he said, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and you will conceive and give birth to a son. And you'll name him Jesus, and he'll be very great. Be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him a throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Her reaction? Who am I? I am nothing. And that brings us back to the beginning of the Christmas story. The line that starts with the woman who gave birth to Jesus. In Greek, there's a word for this. It's called Theotokos. It means mother of God. And just think for a second, how would you feel if you were tasked to raise God? No pressure, right? It's a pretty daunting thing to be asked to do, isn't it? Don't screw it up. I think Mary is rightly afraid. She says, I'm a lowly woman. I'm not used to being in the spotlight. But suddenly she's asked to step up center stage, be in the middle of everything, to have the spotlight shined on her. Theotokos. And it's interesting, her sense of self is almost not up to the task. She can't even fathom playing this role. Could you? For Mary, the fight for peace is inside of herself. It's quieting the doubts and the fears and the anxieties. The I'm not good enoughs. The who do I think I am? The voice that says you'll fail. You always do. So the final question we want to ask today is, where do we need to be at peace with ourselves? Where do we need to accept ourselves? Maybe to love ourselves. Where do we need to allow ourselves to be something bigger than we are right now? To try new things. To grow in new ways. Where do we need to forgive ourselves? Maybe even come to grips with ourselves, our shortcomings, our strengths, all of it. Where do we need to be at peace with ourselves? There's a line in an ancient hymn. It says, O come, Emmanuel. It's a provocative line because it says I'm in a place where I can take the challenge that is the divine calling me to something bigger. I have that level of peace inside of myself that I'm willing to be stretched and grown and challenged. And so I want to invite you today to sing with us. O come, Emmanuel, not because we're there yet, not because we have perfect peace, but because maybe we can see a future where that peace could be in us. We didn't just come up with the idea of peace because we had nothing better to talk about today. It's actually the core of what Friends Church is. The way we say it is we exist to make this world physically better. To inspire, to teach, to motivate, to grow, to develop, each of us. Into somebody who has the power to change our world all around us. It's not about training you to believe something about this story or getting your beliefs all lined up with my beliefs. It's not about that at all. For us, we figure there's probably about as many beliefs in here as there are people. Maybe add another 20% for good luck, right? But we exist here to make the world a better place, to become healthy human beings, to understand each other, to grow up in community, so that we can actually tangibly make our world a better place.
Yeah, and we know that just talking about it, you know, gets old, right? Like, it doesn't just happen by talking about it. Some of the stuff we talk about where there's divisiveness in families, there's strife, there's hard things that have gone on, and elephants in the room that don't want to be talked about. There's dinner tables that grow quiet because a conflict scares people away. Dealing and making peace in our homes, in our neighborhoods. It takes work. It's why every week we call people in here, we call the spiritual gym. And we think deeply and we wrestle with what it means to do it, to live out peace in our world. For those of you that have been a part of this community this past year, maybe you'll remember we took a month and we just dove into this whole area of forgiveness, talking about what it means to move on. We watched as some of you took some tough steps. You got on the phone, you set up coffees to look someone in the eye and said, we need to get past this. Some of you opened up and you said, I'm sorry. Some of you got to the point where you said, I'm ready to let what happened go, because you wanted to move on. Maybe some of you remember this series. This happened a little later on where we started studying our what we call our inner demons, our inner asshole, we call it. Excuse the pun, but we found very few things to call it that better describe it than that. It was exciting watching as people began to wrestle with how their actions, how their attitudes affect negatively the people around them. And their growing awareness expanding to now catch themselves from doing things that cause more heart, feelings, and hurt. We spent time learning the most effective ways to nourish our souls in a series we did called Soul Care. Why? To become more present, become more awake to the needs of those around us. Why? Because this is the kind of vision, this is the kind of stuff that's needed for peace on earth. Peace in our homes, peace with our kids, in our marriages, with our exes, with our noisy neighbor, an annoying employee that works in the cubicle beside you. It requires serious intentionality. It requires some working out. We're proud of the work that many of you have done, putting in hard time in the gym this past year. It didn't just stop there. It didn't just stop the wrestling here. It started leaking out into your lives. Not just into your personal cubby holes in your worlds, but it's like this margin to give and to expand and to impact your world just keeps growing. We watched as this community began to rally, saying, you know what? Maybe there's more we can do if we just all get together and do some stuff. So we began kind of pulling the troops together. Switch. Some students here today, you were on this trip. Every spring break, they raise $2,500 bucks each to go and bust their ass down in Mexico to build some homes for impoverished people. They would never know what it's like to be able to lock their door. There these kids are given families, homes, peace on earth. Internationally, we watched it happen as people started finding causes that they could give themselves to here locally. We watch and we hear the stories of you guys saying, yeah, I can do something. I can give back. We watched it in the way that you'd volunteer in and from the cold. Mustard seed. Some of you found your own causes. Cancer ride. Some of you donated blood for the first time this year. You're finding ways where you can say, I've got something and I can give it and I can make my world a little bit better. So wonderful. This last Sunday, collectively as a community, we got over into the social hall and we began to pack up all these gifts and hamper items that you guys gave so generously. We packed a 26-foot U-Haul truck full of presents and pantry items, took them down to this agency that was going to distribute it to some struggling families. 20 families we were able to bless this year. The biggest collective effort this church has ever done in the history of Friends Church on that project. We celebrate what you guys, when we just talk about peace, it gets old and it runs dry. But when you live it out, I'm telling you, we can watch peace coming right in front of our eyes. So today, it's one of our last Sundays of the year. We not only celebrate the story, we sing the songs, but we celebrate the peace that you're creating in your own little world and in the greater world. Thank you. Thank you for doing more than just listening. Thank you for putting your hands together and your resources, joining with us to create peace on earth. So hey, we talked to the band about this. We said, hey, we want to talk about peace on earth. What do you got? What do you got? And they said, you know, we'd like this song, but we don't want people to take it the wrong way. It's called Go Tell It on the Mountain. How many have ever heard the song, right? Yeah. Yeah, you know what you're in for. And I'm going to ask you all to stand because we're going to sing this together. They said, you know what? It's like when we say bring peace, we're not talking about going preach to your neighbor. We're not trying to proselytize. We're not doing anything like that. We're saying there is good news in the Christmas story, and it's called Create Some Peace in Your World. So as they sing this, go tell it on the mountain. Come on, you guys. You know what? We're a Caucasian crowd predominantly, and we don't like that. We want this more diverse than ever. But man, we gotta loosen up a bit. You guys, like ironing boards, sitting there worried about this. Come on, let the band sing. Come on, open up those lungs. Don't pretend you don't know this. All right, yeah, we got it. We got it. All right, team, let's take this away.
So Jeff just, Jeff just told us about an amazing act of generosity of this community a couple of Sundays ago when we packed up that U-Haul trailer. And now it's going to make me cry. Oh, that's terrible. and took all those gifts to those families. I know we're supposed to be tight. Give me 2 seconds. But I want to thank you for another amazing act of generosity this year. This church is entirely self-funded by this community. For real, Kelton. Man. We are entirely self-funded. There is no greater organization who provides us with funding. It comes from this community. And this year, I am so delighted to say that we have more pre-authorized givers than we have ever had in the past, meaning that we are able, yes. And that means that we are able to understand how much money we have to spend and budget accordingly, which makes running a church, which is really a business, a lot easier. But I would be remiss if I didn't tell you, you still have time. And so, tonight, if you feel like adding to a donation, you still have time to get your tax-deductible receipt. We have a black box at the back of the room as you come in the door or leave the door. And also, if you don't have any cash in your pocket, but would like to still give through the app, which will take you to our online giving program, and you can do that with your credit card. Thank you very much for your generosity this year.
Full disclosure, I plan to go for dinner after this and eat until I almost explode. Anyone feeling like ready to maybe partake a little too much of this, right? Anyone have a few too many social gatherings this year that you're going, oh geez, I'm going to sleep for a week? If you're looking for a next step after this, we have a series coming up called Reset. Not because you all need it, because you're going to be great, but I need it, right? Because there's something about Christmas that's lovely and family and beautiful and fun and incredible, and yet we get pulled off of our values often. We give more than we should. We spend more than we should. We do more than we should. And so if you're anything like us, this is a time to kind of reset ourselves back to health, back to the optimum. The series starts on January 4th, but we're actually going to start it next Sunday. We're going to talk a little bit before we do it. The official start on the 4th. But I just want to invite you guys all to come out. It's not a walk of shame, like I had a little too much debauchery this year. That will be my job. But I want to invite you guys out to come out and have a chance to reset your life on a healthy path.
Yeah, so we're gonna wrap up our service tonight. What time is it? 5:45?
We're early.
Oh, I got lots to say then.
Whoa. Keep it tight.
Kelty, that you cried, all right? I just took pressure off me. Oh, man. So we're going to wrap up. The band's going to do another tune here and close up things. But I want to say a huge thank you on behalf of Vince and Carmen and Yvette, our team, our staff team here at Friends Church. A couple weeks ago, you guys, you blessed our families with an offering. And you guys spoiled us. You spoiled our families. And, you know, it's a shot in the arm. The money's great. Awesome. It's amazing. But to see how many people gave, and so we just, you know, I wish Carmen was up here too and Yvette, but we just, and all our families that got to share in the benefit, thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for believing in this thing called Friends Church. And you know, if you're here for the first time or you're wondering what these yahoos are doing, and maybe you've heard a friend or someone tell you about this place, you got to check this out. And finally, you said, okay, fine, Christmas Eve, I'll do it. And then you get off my back. I, you know what? I'm really thankful you took the leap tonight, and I hope you would come back. Check out Reset in the new year. This family's gotten bigger this year, and it's going to continue to get bigger. We're going to keep making more room for people. And why? Because we can make a difference in our world if we just take the gym seriously. So thank you, everyone, for being a part of this tonight. We wish you a huge Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.